I want to do a lesson today on transformed by the renewing of your mind. Do you realize that what we think about the most is what we follow the most? And if we see things brightly, we tend to be up. If we see things dimly, we tend to be down. Do you feel that? Is that kind of how it works with you? Well, God has done a lot of work in the scriptures that He left behind to help us with this. So we're going to talk about renewing our mind. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, the passage says, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." God has a will for us. God never asks us to move the sun from one place to another. Now, can He do that? Has He done that? He's not asking us to do what we cannot do. He's calling on us to follow His lead and do the things He calls us to do within our power and within our ability that He Himself has given us. And by the way, every one of you have been blessed by God with something in your life. Do you believe that's true? Now, not everybody can do the same thing everybody else can. We don't need everybody else being alike. We need different kinds of people so that the diversity comes together as a whole. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able. See, that after that transformation, you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, good, pleasing, and perfect will. If we're going to serve God effectively, we have to learn to stay on the same page He is, basically. If you're sitting there thinking about trying to get your old car running or something, and somebody over here is thinking about going swimming after a while, we lose in that kind of thing. We have to consider, we have to think, and put our mind where we can to give God's perfect will a chance to work in our life. If we're going to say that we've learned anything, we have to change the way we think about biblical things. We found that it's not as simple as a little, "I didn't know this, but now I do" thing. That's not what God's looking for us in this. But what He wants is the word metamorpho. That's the base word of metamorpho. What is that? Metamorphosis. Anybody here didn't know what metamorphosis was? Metamorphosis is like the caterpillar turning into a butterfly. Yesterday, he's a worm. And today he's flying around. Do you realize that God is calling us to change that drastically? By His power, of course. It's something vastly different than it was. You can take a crayon and color something on a picture. And then you can take another crayon and color over it, and it'll look differently. But the same image is there, it's just different colors. With a metamorphosis, it's a whole different world. Listen to the text, and you'll hear this metamorphosis come out. It's also stated as a transformation. be transformed into something more. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And as people who are in the progress of transformation, we need to be keenly aware of the way we continue to think. God is not the big problem solver for everybody in the world. Now, He can solve every problem in the world, can He not? Have you ever asked God, why didn't you just fix this for us? God don't want to fix it for us. God did not break His good world. Who broke it? Humanity. And like a good father, He said, you broke it, you fix it. It's your job. Fix it. Paul instructed that this transformation comes to us through the renewing of our mind. We got to change the way we think about things. We need to focus on important things and never let them get out of our sight. And we need to be a people who thinks about a completed goal in view of a journey. Anybody in here ever set out on vacation to go somewhere and had to turn around and come back? Don't that make you want to slap somebody? Do you realize how many times we set out to do something and turn around, come back, never finishing what we do? We also must then reckon. The Scripture uses the word reckon a few times. For a clodhopper like me, I would say, well, I reckon we ought to get up and get out of here. That's not the way the word's used. Reckon is the word figure out. Figure out something. I remember when I first had to start doing math, you know, as much as I can remember in those years. You had to figure some of that stuff out. And then they come up and changed it on you. And then they get up to algebra. I never went there. We are a community of believers. You are not sitting today in the house of God. You're sitting in chairs in a church house. You're not sitting in the house of God. You could go and help somebody clean the nastiest sewer on their property and be in the house of God doing it. Do you know that? This is not a holy house. This is just an old room with some fairly comfortable chairs. And we don't stay too long because we don't have to wake people up. We must become a people who think using reasonable thought. Listen to Paul's prayer in the church at Philippi. We could hear anybody in here pray. May God would be glorified. But Paul's got a prayer, and he wants us to hear it. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight. Well, you say, well, why, Paul? Why you want that from us? He said, so that you'll be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that whatever's happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Is it possible for bad things that happen to us to turn out to good things for other people? When God allows something to go on with us, whether it's large or small, He has a place for that. He has a reason for it. He's not trying to punish you. He's trying to make it clearer for us so that all of us understand, without Him, I am nothing. What's that song? Without Him. Yeah, I can do nothing. Our God is on our side. You have absolutely nothing to fear. You're going to die. I'm going to tell you this just in case you hadn't heard. You're going to die. Well, when are you going to die? Well, might be today, might be tomorrow, might be 10 years, 20 years from now. Who knows? But what I do know, unless the Lord comes first, you're going to die. But I also want you to know that because you die doesn't mean you're going to stay dead. Because God's got a plan for that. God can take any deficit and turn it into a glory. And He does it every day in our lives. Knowing God is the heart of the whole matter, and we need to remember that there's a difference between knowing God and knowing about God. There's a whole big difference in that. As we transform by the renewal of our mind, we will reckon or work it out, figure it out, His will and what He wants for us. Let me tell you this. God has, over the years, given me talents. Some of them are good, and some of them I didn't do much with. But do you realize that God's given every one of you talents? Here's a question. If God gives you a talent, does He do that so you can be glorious, or that He can be glorious through you? Which way is it? So basically, what we do, the good stuff we do, is really not about us at all. It just includes us. And we have a function within that. So I'm not high and holy. I'm just plain Jane. You know, that's just all I am. But I know that God can take what He embraces within us, and He can change the world through people like us. And we're not having to gather up $1 million to get it done. Philippians and Colossians were very similar books. Listen to this, Colossians 1, 15 through 20. I'm going to talk about who the Son is. Not who the preacher is, who the members are. The Son is the image of the invisible God. When you see Jesus, you see the Father. When you see the Father, you see the Holy Spirit. For in Him all things were created, in the heaven, on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones, powers, rulers, or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him, not me, and not you. Boy, that changes the complexion of things, doesn't it? This is all about Him. It's not about us. Boy, you should come to our church. Let me help you with that statement. You don't have a church. How many of you died and bled to start a church in God's presence? It's His church. If He wants to move it over yonder, He can. If He wants to move it over yonder, He can. If He wants to leave it right here, He can. Why? It's His. I don't have a voice in that. He was before all things, and in Him all things hold together. You know why these chairs are not floating around the top of the building here? Because of molecular structure and all of that God created. And God said for it to sit there under these conditions. Doesn't matter that you rooted it over there or you chose that seat. They stay put because God said stay put. You know why the moon moves? Or does it? There's stuff that moves, but do you notice that our cycles, it all comes back time after time? Because God's a God of order. We need to remind ourselves who we are. Colossians 1:21-23, once you were alienated from Christ and enemies in your own minds because of your evil behavior, but now He has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in His sight, without blemish, free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. Do you hear what God thinks about you? Well, I don't know. You know, I just don't know if I'm really good enough. I've already helped you with that. You're not good enough. But He will give you His goodness. And what does that make you? Is it okay if God makes you good instead of you making you good? Isn't it better that God does that? That's what God's done for us. We need to get over ourselves. God's on our side. You see the word mature in your Bible when you're reading along. You talk about being mature, maturing, and this sort of thing. The word mature in the Scripture is the Greek word teleos. Teleos carries the idea of reaching a goal. It's like finishing a race, reaching a goal. If you look carefully, you'll get to see in the Scripture that the goal for which we are presented is in Christ. I'm going to ask you a question. This is going to be a better way to ask this. Has there ever been church members that quit? Anybody ever know of one? Do you know if God presents you in Himself, you are His, whether you embrace it or not? And God will train you up and bring you up into something way more than you ever were, no matter how weak you were at the beginning. Do you know that God is on our side? He will not quit. He will not give up. He will not slow down. God has in mind for us to have in this goal the authenticness of who we really are in Christ. He will work out every detail. He will give us every opportunity. We will fail with a large part of those opportunities. We'll let them slide by, ignore them to some degree, but God's still doing the work. Is it true that you have known people for many, many years? You've talked to them about Christ, and I mean, it might be 20 years, and then all of a sudden, one day, this girl or boy, man or woman walks in and says, I want to be a believer. Does that happen? Did that happen because the church members were so grand? Or does that happen because God is leading people in His time to bring things about? What do you think? And that happens right here and down the street. It happens all over. God is constantly on the move. God is sharpening us as steel is sharpened. I picked out my pig sticker knife yesterday. I've got a little old bitty knife in my pocket, and then I got one that's kind of big. You know, this knife is not worth much unless it's got an edge on it. And it's steel cut steel. That's what God does. God cuts away stuff that keeps us from Him embracing Him. In your baptism, there was a whole big change that took place. You died to the present world and came to life in Christ. So then, after you came alive in Christ, the great thing about that is you could quit faking it then. You know, people fake it. Do you think people fake it sometimes? You know, I'm this, I'm that. Here's what I know. I know I'm not worth saving, but I know God did it anyway. But there are people that think they're better than everybody else. But God can fix that. Here's one way he did it when he was dealing with these virtues. Colossians 3, 5 to 10. Put to death, therefore, what belongs to your earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as anger and rage and malice and slander and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices and have put on its new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and in the image of the Creator. Do you know that today, all of this stuff we're doing, all this stuff we're reading, this stuff we preach here and preach there, it's not about building up a church. It's about building people. Well, we go to church. No, you don't. It's impossible to go to church. It is impossible to go to church. Why? You are the church. It does not have an address. And so you are what God has called you to be. And he does that for a reason. Practicing the kind of mind change that comes through what we have experienced in our baptism here is a transformation. And if I can make any really clear sense to you, I want you to know that we're here not to fill a spot. I want you to know that communion is not taking the Lord's Supper necessarily. Communion is togetherness. That's what that is. You want to take the Lord's Supper, don't call it communion, though it is communion. But the world doesn't understand that. We need to get things separated right. I know that as bad as I am, God has me in his embrace. I know that as bad as things are that happen with me, I can still love you if you spit in my face. I don't think you would, but if you did, it wouldn't hit you. I want you to know God is on our side. I don't want you to ever lay your head down on a pillow and worry, will I wake up tomorrow? I want you to know and be confident that whether you live or die, you will be in the embrace of Jesus Christ. And in the embrace of Jesus Christ, nobody can take you from him. You are safe and you are secure. And if that don't help you, you got a big problem. Can you sing How Great Thou Art? Okay. Sing that for us, would you? Let me tell you, all of what God has done should be a shout of praise, because he's done nothing but brought you into his embrace. And he will take you into his embrace forever. He will clean up his good world. And we're going to see each other again before this is over. God is magnificent.